The use of big data in the public and private sectors has been growing for years. That includes lots of information about us, what we do online, what we buy, where we live, whether we've been in jail, how many times we've been married, the list goes on. A lot of marketers use it to try to sell stuff to us, but it turns out the health insurance industry is paying more and more attention to that data. Health insurers say that right now they're not using data to price health insurance plans, but patients and privacy advocates worry they may start in the near future. Marshall Allen reports on healthcare for ProPublica. He reported the recent investigation titled, "Health Insurers Are Vacuuming Up Details About You and It Could Raise Your Rates." Marshall, welcome back to the show.
Thank you for having me here.
Well, how did you first start tackling this issue of health insurers really being interested in a lot of non-medical data about us?
Well, I got a tip about this from a woman who did data analysis for a big insurance company, for Aetna. And she told me that while she was working at Aetna, she was given access to a database that had a bunch of information about people's hobbies. And it had information like whether or not you crocheted or whether or not you were into knitting or whether or not you were a gun owner or the type of food that you like to eat or the type of outdoor activities that you like to participate in or not. And she said it just felt very invasive to her, and she knew that the members of the health plan had not given their permission. They hadn't given their consent for her to be looking at this data. And she said the goal was, you know, to use this data to try and figure out how much different people might cost the insurance company to cover. And so that led me to dig a little further on it. And what I found is it's kind of an open secret. You know, it's been going on for several years where the insurance industry has teamed up with data brokers and they are gathering all these personal details about our lives. And they're feeding them into these complex computer algorithms. And then they're trying to use that to predict who might have higher health costs than other people. So basically, they're using non-medical information to make inferences about our healthcare costs.
Now you've ended up at a convention, basically, where some of these insurers were and where this industry, these big data companies wanting to sell stuff to insurers were. What kind of promises were these data companies making? What did they say you could do with their stuff?
Well, you know, they are real proud of their work. So, you know, they put it all out there in their marketing materials and their sales materials. And I went to a big health insurance conference and kind of walked the floor of the vendor hall and talked to a lot of people there. You know, the big companies, one of the big ones is LexisNexis, who your listeners have probably heard of. They're a massive research organization. They're also, you know, what you'd call a data broker. I mean, they're taking personal information, whether it's public information, so say from court records or property records, or they can also get proprietary information about things maybe that you've purchased or whether or not you have debt or whether you have recently lost your job or you've moved. And they have, they said 442 of these socioeconomic attributes that they use to create what they call their health scores. And some of the inferences that they and these other companies make are really sort of interesting because, you know, it could be true. You could see for a group that some of these things could be true, but any individual in the group, it may not be accurate. You know, so for instance, one of their assertions is that if you're a woman who's recently changed your name, which they could tell from public records, maybe you would be newly married and so you could have a pregnancy pending, or maybe you're recently divorced and so you're stressed out, which would also cost higher medical bills. Another one of them is if you're a woman who's purchased plus size clothing, the industry considers you at higher risk of depression. And obviously, mental health care can be expensive. Or if you're low income and you're a minority, then the data brokers are sort of interpreting you as someone who is more likely to live in a dangerous neighborhood. And that could also increase your health risks. And the problem is, you know, this may or may not be true for any of these individuals in these groups. And so even when I was walking the floor of the convention hall, you know, one of the salesmen for one of the other companies was like, you know, God forbid you live in a bad neighborhood these days because you're going to get lumped in with a lot of assertions about your health.
Talking to Marshall Allen from ProPublica, talking about big data and how health insurers are using it. Marshall, can and do health insurers use this kind of data, these kind of programs, to set an individual's healthcare premiums right now?
Well, so the people at LexisNexis are adamant that no one would ever use their data this way. No one would be interested in using their data this way. Their contracts forbid using their data this way. But then I looked at a press release that Milliman, the giant actuarial firm, put out, where they said they're using this data. So I called Milliman, and they told me that they are using the LexisNexis health scores to try and figure out whether they would be useful for pricing healthcare plans. Now, the Affordable Care Act, so I did not find evidence that they are using it to price healthcare plans, but it's an obvious, you know, insurance companies are in the business of trying to figure out how much we might cost and predict risk. And especially with the Affordable Care Act, you know, they're offering plans in new communities where they don't have the medical history of patients. And so they are more interested in finding everything they can about the potential risk. The Affordable Care Act does protect individuals on individual plans and small group plans from this information being used to price plans. However, you know, the Trump administration is pushing the short-term plans where they don't have the same protections about pre-existing conditions. And so this information could definitely be used there. It could be used to price groups. You know, if there's a large group plan that an employer is buying, they could look at all the people in that group. They could look at their socioeconomic factors, and they could use this to price those plans. So, you know, in different situations, they're not allowed to, but in other situations, they are allowed to.
Another concern raised in your reporting is that, okay, if I'm an insurer, I'm looking, hey, do I want to open up business in this market or that market? Do I want to participate in Affordable Care Act exchanges in this state, in this part of this state? And if I've got this bundle of data that says, oh, these neighborhoods over there aren't looking so hot, maybe I don't want to bother competing in that neighborhood.
Well, that's right. That's exactly right. They are using the plans to assess communities. And, you know, part of that assessment is to think through how big is the risk. And, you know, in some cases, it might be accurate, you know. So it's, you know, and obviously they're allowed to do their business. It's just that the risk of discrimination is there. And also the industry has a lengthy history of doing what's called cherry picking patients. You know, they want to pick the healthiest patients so that those patients are paying premiums and then they're not having medical expenses, and they want to avoid the sickest patients. They want to avoid the patients who are going to be filing claims. And so there are a lot of shenanigans that the industry plays even today to cherry pick patients. For instance, I talked to someone at Harvard Law School. They have a whole organization there that analyzes the different plans that are put out under the Affordable Care Act to see if they discriminate. And they found commonly that the different plans that are put out now under the Affordable Care Act will do things like limit the number of specialists in a network. So they would not have specialists in network who do like HIV care or care for patients with hepatitis C. And then, of course, patients who need that type of care would not sign up for that plan. So it's a way to avoid sick patients, or they would make the drug formulary unclear. So you can't really tell whether or not they cover an HIV drug. And of course, if you're an HIV patient, you need your HIV drugs, which are expensive drugs. And so if the formulary doesn't show you and give you the information you need to know if your drug is covered, you're going to avoid that plan. So there are still ways that the industry plays little games to attract healthy people and to repel sick people.
We're talking to Marshall Allen from ProPublica about his reporting that shows health insurance companies are starting to, continuing to look at people's personal data, and lots of it. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have questions for our guest about how this works? Are you worried about this? Do you worry that health insurance providers might use data like this to discriminate against patients, against communities? Do you worry about being stereotyped for a divorce where you live, buying a self-help book? Or do you think it's not a big deal? The data's out there. Somebody might as well use it. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. We'll continue the conversation here on Central Time. ProPublica reporter Marshall Allen is with us talking about health insurance companies and how they're using big data. Lots of information about what we buy, what we do, where we live, and more. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. Are you surprised to hear that health insurers are looking at and using all this data about us, not directly medical data? What questions do you have about what they do with this, what they could do with it? Are you concerned about what's happening with information about you? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Marshall, you write that the case from some of these health insurers is that, okay, we don't care so much about the individual patients here, but if we can take this kind of data, correlate it, well, then we can help individual patients by providing them the services that they need for their what our algorithms tell us are their health needs.
That's right. This is part of a movement in medicine called the social determinants of health. And it's the idea that people's economic conditions and their social conditions have a lot to do with their overall health. And there's certainly a lot to that. There are studies that show that, you know, your education background, the neighborhood you live in, the type of food that you eat, all these things definitely contribute to your health. And so their argument is we can use this for better case management, and we can create programs for people who might be in a low-income neighborhood, or maybe they have difficulty getting transportation to go to the doctor. If they know these things, then they can help meet these needs. The catch there is that, you know, there are ways of doing this that are transparent, where you have the patient's consent. You know, like a lot of healthcare providers will just have a patient fill out a survey, you know, like, do you have a hard time affording your medication? Or do you have a hard time making it to the doctor? Do you need transportation? You know, if a patient provides that information on their own, then they know that they're disclosing it. They know how it's being used. They can decline to provide the information if they think it's not the business of the insurance company or the doctor. And that's one way of doing it that I think would be okay. You know, I mean, it's out in the open, it's disclosed. But what's going on here is that they're teaming up with data brokers who are really harvesting all of our personal details about our lives without our consent and without our knowledge. And then they're making these inferences about our overall health and really ranking us and rating us by how much we're going to cost to cover using non-medical information. So there are ways that people are using the social determinants of health that are really positive. And then there are ways like this that I think a lot of people would say are more problematic.
Let's go to our callers now. Garrett is on the line in Madison. Garrett, hi.
Hello. I just wanted to say, Marshall, you bring up some really interesting insight from some of these attributes or subsets of attributes that the insurance companies are using here. But I also wanted to kind of bring up concern and see if you can speak to the validity of some of these ancestry companies like 23andMe, or I know there's some other ones out there, the names escape me, but can you speak to the validity of them acting as data brokers? It sounds pretty dangerous, as the data that they have might be a little bit more direct.
Garrett, thanks for the call. I don't know if you looked at those ancestry testing services. Do you know, Marshall, how that fits into this data collection?
So I did not actually dig into that at all. I did not report on that at all. But I can tell you that, you know, you want to be really careful that you read the fine print. Call the company and ask them how they're going to be using your data. Are they going to be selling it or sharing it? I'm sure that they would say it's all de-identified. But once you put your information out there, I mean, you know, things can easily get re-identified. I mean, they know. They can put together a few different data points and figure out who people are pretty easily. So I personally would just urge people, if you care about privacy, ask a lot of questions, find out how things are going to be used. And, you know, I tell people, like, online, just don't be on Facebook if you care about privacy. I mean, anything that you post online, there's going to be a record of it.
Garrett, thanks for the call. Jason is with us now in Minocqua. Hello, Jason.
Hello. Thank you for taking my call.
And what did you want to ask about?
Well, I have been debating with my college roommate from Madison now for years about who owns the information about you. And it seems like in his high-tech world, the corporation can own everything there is to know about you. And that's okay. But on my side, it looks to me like, you know, there should be some boundaries there. And I wonder if you could offer an opinion on what boundaries in privacy we should enact.
Jason, I gotcha. To what extent, Marshall, do we own our digital selves, our digital shadows?
Well, the United States has pretty much made it open season on our personal information for corporations and data brokers to traffic in all these personal details about us. Europe has a really interesting contrast. They have this general data protection law that they put into place. In Europe, they basically assume that your private information is to be protected unless there's some exceptional reason why it needs to be shared. In the United States, we generally assume that your private information is available to every corporation to trade, except for certain exemptions like our medical information where it's protected. So Europe takes a completely opposite point perspective than the United States does. California just passed a law that's more restrictive, but that law doesn't go into effect for many years, and it could get chipped away as they put it into place. But this is a big debate that we need to have in this country. And basically, the corporations have been running away with it without a lot of public conversation.
Jason, thanks for that call. Marshall Allen is with us from ProPublica. We're talking about his reporting on the way health insurers are using big data, lots of information about us, and fears that they could use it to set insurance rates in the future. We'll go now to Taj in Wautoma. Taj, hi.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. What did you want to bring up?
Well, I wanted to say that it doesn't surprise me at all that these corporations are doing this. It's a matter of them lobbying for the laws that work in their favor. And, you know, until people actually push their, you know, their representatives to, you know, talk about this and make laws that make are in our own interest. Like, you know, he said, it's in our best interest to have this debate.
Thanks for the call. Marshall, you mentioned California. At the federal level, is there anybody sounding the alarm, trying to pass legislation to change things?
Not that I've heard of. I think a good model here might be the way we deal with our credit scores. You know, a lot of experts I talked to pointed to the Fair Credit Reporting Act. And as everyone knows, you know, we have a credit score that is used when people give us loans to determine our credit worthiness. And the difference here is that we can find out our credit score. We can find out what factors are used to give us our credit score. And we can also petition to have it changed if we find something wrong. The difference here is that they're creating health scores. We're not allowed to have our health scores. In fact, I asked LexisNexis if they would give me my own health score. And they said that if they had figured it out for me, it would be the property of my insurance company, not me. And so there was no way for me to actually even find out what my score is or what information they were using to calculate it.
In our last few minutes, Marshall, you did get at least part of your, I don't know what to call it, dossier from one of these data providers. I think it might have been LexisNexis. Not the whole shebang, not everything they have about you, but what did you get?
Well, so LexisNexis does make it available for people to request their own file, and any of your listeners can do that. If you go to my story at ProPublica.org, I put a link in the story so you can look up your own data. And they don't give you everything. They only give you the very limited number of things that the federal law requires them to provide. And it was really interesting. I got this 182-page report in the mail. It was really like a walk down memory lane for me. You know, I saw all my old phone numbers, all my old addresses going all the way back to my childhood home in Golden, Colorado. I mean, this was information going back for decades. And kind of an interesting detail on the addresses. Now, you know, I've lived a really middle class, fairly boring existence. You know, I don't have a criminal record. I don't have anything shady on my record. But, you know, they had a little field on the addresses for whether or not the address was considered to be high risk. And mine were not high risk, but it did make me wonder, you know, what if I had lived in these high-risk neighborhoods? I mean, what if, you know, 10 years ago I lived in a place that was considered dilapidated and dangerous? Is this the kind of thing that they're holding against us? You know, I mean, it would be nice just to know.
We'll leave it there, Marshall. Thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you so much for having me on today. I appreciate it.
That's Marshall Allen, healthcare reporter for ProPublica, talking to us about his investigation into health insurance companies and their use of big data. You can learn more and check out some of those links Marshall talked about at ProPublica.org. Coming up Monday on Central Time, we'll look back at a key turning point in Latino activism here in Wisconsin. An expert on conspiracy theories joins the show to tell us how they start, why they spread, and why it's so hard to convince true believers that they may be wrong, and to tell us if the internet changed the way conspiracy theories start and spread around the world. Plus, Gemma Tarlak from Discover Magazine is back with us. She'll share some of the most intriguing stories from the world of science. On the agenda, I don't remember all the things. There's one looking for a supernova, right, where a star really explodes. We're starting to look, we astronomers, are starting to look for signs of a major supernova. And we're going to meet, this is a discovery not long ago in Utah, one of the biggest cousins of the dinosaurs. This thing is huge. That, plus a look at some of the top news of the day. It's all coming up Monday right here on Central Time.